Sharks fans. I'm only talking like Puck Guy because that was rough. We'll get all into that. But first, before I do any of that, I am Chris JWS. You can find me on Twitter at Chris JWS. Be sure to smash that subscribe button and check out the YouTube chat down there. You can chat with everyone. And of course, if you're watching this on replay, leave us a comment down there. Let us know what you thought about the game. Follow us on all the social at Tealtown USA. With that, let's talk to my lovely co-hosts before we start recapping this one. This was a rough one. I have the Angry Canadian Robot. How you doing, buddy?
Yeah, I'm here. This is bad. I keep watching games and they keep losing. I keep missing games and they keep winning. I'm the problem. I'm sorry.
Well, we may have to ban you from watching games. With that, Rocket, how you doing?
Good evening, gentlemen and ladies out there. I'm disappointed with this loss, but small sample size. So.
Yep, we can say that at least for another five or so games, small sample size. So the Sharks fall to 2-2-1 on the road trip now. I believe they are about 50-50. And Dell gets a second straight start. I know some people want to think that's controversy. Probably not, but we'll get into that. Let's just start with the opening period. I mean, the first two periods were good. Starting with the first, Evander Kane takes a penalty. But on that penalty kill, Sorensen whips one glove side, shorthanded. Nice passes by Timo and Burns on that. And really, the Sharks dominated shots early. So that first period looked pretty good until Howden kind of throws it between his legs. He disrespected the game massively there. Absolute disrespect to the game. Kind of a weird, broken play, but it goes in. Peter DeBoer challenges it. No dice. So with that was the first. Start with Rock. What was your takeaways from the first?
First period, I think the Sharks came out strong, but what they always run into is that giant wall called Henrik Lundqvist. I mean, they could beat every other player on that team except for Henrik Lundqvist.
Definitely. He held them in it most of this game. Ian, your thoughts?
Yeah, that replay kind of the callback kind of annoyed me because it took so long. I mean, they want to get it right, and I think that they couldn't come up with the evidence to turn it over. But I think if after looking at it for that long, I don't know, I just think it took too long to come up with that decision.
Anytime there's enough time for the in-house music operator to troll with a bunch of Enya, like there was an entire Enya track that they played waiting for this thing to get called. Enya!
I mean, I'm pretty sure a few of the other games that started at the same time finished before that review was over. It was a long review. I mean, I looked up the rule right away. I thought at best for the Sharks, it was inconclusive. Best case. So I was like, there's no way they're going to overturn that. And I don't know if I saw enough to confirm it, but they said confirmed. Good goal. We are 1-1 at the end of one. But overall, shots 17-6 Sharks. The Sharks owned that period. It was really Hank held the Rangers in there and kept them from getting buried because they easily could have been down 2 or 3, similar to Philadelphia the other night.
Yeah.
And we move on to the second, which was also good. So we're staying positive for the time being. Donskoy from Sumela. That was a pretty goal. That was nice pass up the boards by Burns. Perfect patience by Sumela. Perfect finish. I mean, that was, just pure poetry in terms of a goal. Exactly what you want to see. And that was all for scoring in the second. I was feeling very good after two. Even though it was a 2-1 score, Sharks were out shooting them 33-15. I felt like, okay, yeah, Sharks just need to get that extra insurance goal in the third. Keep in control. This is probably a win. Maybe it's not a blowout, but it should be a win. That was my feeling after two. Where were you at, Ian?
Yeah, I thought everything seemed to be going the Sharks' way. And it seems like that's basically the way that most of the games have been this season. Everything looks like it's going San Jose's way. And then for some reason, it just stops going their way. I mean, this time, I mean, we'll get to the third, but I mean, how could you not feel good about the team coming out of the second period? I thought they were playing great.
Rock?
I felt that the Sharks coming out of the second period, historically, well, it feels like historically anyway, this is second period has never been San Jose's strong point. So to see them not completely give up a bunch of stuff and really sacrifice on some massive turnovers was a good sign.
Yep. So, and now we get to the third. So now the bad news. So, well, starting with Hurdle leaving with eight minutes into the third. I haven't seen any update yet. If you guys see something on Twitter, let me know, because I'm paying attention to what I'm doing here. So if we see an update on that, but last I know, there was no update on Hurdle. Hopefully he's okay. It was a possible face injury. With 6 minutes left in the game, shots were 39-20. Sharks were still owning the shot clock. We're still possessing a lot. And then they had about a 7-minute drought somewhere in there leading up, you know, from about 10 minutes left to about 3 minutes left. They didn't get a single shot on goal. And the Rangers score. There was another close call soon after that where Dell lost track of the puck. The Rangers almost won it in regulation. Not the third we wanted in overtime. The Rangers win it. Dell dropped down a little fast there. And that's all she wrote. That was not the third or the overtime we thought we'd see after those first two periods. Ian, what was your reaction? What do you think went wrong besides them taking their foot off the gas, obviously?
It's exactly that, though. I mean, this is a systemic issue for the Sharks at this point. We've seen this time and time and time again where they, you know, they'll go into a shell and try to hold a one-goal lead instead of trying to actually, you know, push the play. I don't know why they do it, because again, when they were playing in the second, they're still pushing the play and things were generally going their way. So I don't know why they stop. And I don't know, but it's systemic at this point, because this is something that's we've seen this season. It's something we've seen a lot last season. I mean, it's kind of been a thing under Peter DeBoer, and I'm not saying we need to fire coaches or anything. But I think it needs to be said that this has been systemic.
So do you think that, so in other words, I'm hearing this right, that Pete has a habit of once they grab a lead, he kind of gets a little bit guarded and not as aggressive as he should be in not only sustaining that lead, but like expanding that lead? Go ahead.
I feel like we've seen this time and time again where they've taken their foot off the gas in the third and it's bitten them exactly like it bit them tonight. Getting 40 shots through two period is great, but if you're not going to shoot during the third, you know, that's generally going to end up in the back of your net at some point.
Well, I always say every team sits on 2+ goal leads. The Sharks are one of the teams to me that actually sits on a 1-goal lead, which doesn't make sense, because I understand sitting on a 2+ goal lead, but and I shouldn't say they completely sat on it. They did have shot attempts that were blocked and that missed in that interim, but overall the Rangers were owning play in the beginning of the third a little bit, and especially in the second half of the third they started to really start to take it to the Sharks. And at that point it's kind of just a matter of time if you don't start getting possession going the other way, because you know the first 50-ish minutes of that game the Sharks had the puck in the Rangers' end 2/3 of the time. They had possession of the puck, they had the puck on a string, and the Rangers got their opportunities, but really the one goal they had up to that point was on a prayer that managed to slip under Dell's pads.
I
don't know what else to be said about this game. It's a frustrating one because it's one of those ones that, you know, if the Sharks miss, you know, first place or miss whatever it is that they're close to at the end of the season, they miss it by a point or two. This is going to be one of those games you're going to look back and like, should have had it. Like, it's, you know, not the worst because they at least got it to overtime, got 1 point, but it was a should have won that game. That's a point you should have had in the bank. still small sample size, not a problem. They can obviously recover from this, but, you know, bank those points early, bank those points often. To talk about a few positives, I mean, one of the things that stood out to me, not just the scoring play, but just overall, Sumella, that guy has been on fire through the first five games here. I mean, he has been an absolute stud. Ian, you follow the prospects in the international leagues far more than any of us. Where did this guy come from, or how the heck did he get? I mean, how did we end up with him? If you want to maybe give us a little bit of background.
So he was the leading scorer in the Finnish Elite League last year. The Sharks were in a competition, I think, with about 12 teams trying to get him, and they were just able to get him. The Sharks' European scouting staff continues to find them guys that they can plug and play. And Antti Sumella is just another example of that. If you follow along, I mean, we brought over, maybe Tim Heat hasn't had the impact at the NHL level, but he's, you know, he had that huge season with the Barracuda. Mm-hmm. Melker Karlsson, Jonas Donskoy. I mean, these are all just guys they keep plucking out of Europe and plugging and playing. And I think that's a big important thing to do with the way the Sharks' salary structure is. These are the kind of things that they're going to need to do to remain competitive going forward.
Well, yeah, you have to find those gems that are maybe, you know, whether you're competing for them or you find them, they're a little underrated or whatever. But yeah, he's just absolutely, you know, he's been really, really dang good. Like that pass, that was a pro level pass. Rock, did you have something?
Do what, huh?
Oh, I thought you were going to say something. Sorry about that.
No, I just am completely in agreement with you. I think he looks really comfortable on the line, and I think that if there were only 7% of the season, I can't wait to see what we're at 70% of the season with these guys. There's good chemistry.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we want to be all negative after this, but I'm seeing a lot of – I'm seeing the talent. The talent's there. It's very clear. Like, it's just some passes are missing here. Taking the foot off the gas there, a goalie is frustrating them over there. It's not, they're not that far off from possibly ripping several in a row. Like I said a few games ago, they're going to take out this frustration on some poor team and they're going to get shellacked. That happened the other night. I think they're probably also going to have a point where they'll rip off a number of wins in a row as well. I mean, it's clear the talent's there. It's clear they can play. It's a matter of getting on the same page, getting it all working at once, because the power play tonight, I believe it was 0-3. That's where I need AJ in his power play drum. Do we have a drum sound effect, AJ? No. Yeah, AJ is producing tonight. We do not have the drum sound effect, but that will be something in the future. But the Sharks, yeah, they went 0-3 tonight. Disappointing, but just the same, could see it there. It's coming along. What did you see on the power play, Ian?
Well, I thought, you know, and not to steal things from the broadcast itself, but you know, it seems like Karlsson and Burns are starting to figure things out a little bit. I don't know why they don't, like, Burns was in the that one play tonight, like he found himself in the Ovechkin spot. I don't know why Burns isn't there all the time. Like, there's some things on the power play that I'm still kind of confuzzled about. Because I feel like if you put Burns in the Ovechkin spot, like, that's just money. I don't know why they don't do it. But I think, like they said on the broadcast today, those guys are too good to not figure it out. And you can see the chemistry starting to form. You can see some of the things starting to come together. When you add a piece like that right before the season, it's going to take time to get stuff like that going. And because the Sharks funnel so much of their offense from the blue line, whether it be just point shots with forwards or shots with defensemen, you know, and I think that's where, you know, some people will gripe, oh, they had 40 shots, but how many are from the blue line? Yeah, there's a legit gripe there that, you know, there's a few shots that Lundqvist saw all the way and wasn't getting, you know, didn't get tipped, nothing, just went straight to Lundqvist, who's going to, you know, Lundqvist's a world-class goalie, he's going to make that save every time. But I, you know, I feel like as the chemistry forms, though, it's going to get better. It has to.
I mean, it has to. Yeah, there's our power play drum right there.
There we go.
But, you know, just I think it has to get better also because people, let, you know, if we're being real here, I'm not saying like fire somebody. I'm saying real talk. Doug Wilson did not make this trade to have an average power play or an average offensive team. He made the Carlson trade because he's expecting big things from the offense. So if 25 or 50 games into the season, that power play isn't up to snuff, or, you know, the offense is still not playing that well, I mean, he's either going to make a trade for somebody, or somebody on the coaching staff most likely is losing a job, because you don't make the, you know, that's not a small time move. You don't make that move if you're expecting an average power play. So yeah, they're going to figure it out one way or another, I would think. And with that, also, I was looking at the numbers on the power play. So obviously, Burns and Carlson played a lot of that power play time. Vlasic still getting power play time for some reason. But I did notice also they did sprinkle in Braun and Dylan tonight. So I'm hoping maybe that means they're thinking about putting those guys in, because realistically, I like the idea of Burns in the Ovechkin spot as well, if only for, they shouldn't play like they have two D-men out there. You should play like you have one D-man. Because, I mean, that's the way most teams do it. One D-man, four forwards. One of those D-men should play like a forward, or you should split them up. You should play Burns and Carlson on separate units and have them overlap less. But realistically, yeah, you shouldn't play like you have two defensemen out there. You should play like you have two flex guys and three forwards.
Yeah. No, I agree. I mean, it's just, it's going to come. They're going to turn this around at some point. Like, this team's just too good not to, in my opinion. It's so early. I mean, it's so easy to just be like super hot takey right now, week into the season. But I don't know. Sometimes you just got to trust the process a little.
I agree there, where it's like, we're talking five games in and, you know, I'm not that upset by tonight, because I can see like the pieces are there. I think they can get it together. The farther we go in, eventually it will mean more. But right now, you know, they're 500. It's not something to overreact to or get too worried about. Because say Carlson came in right at the beginning of training camp. This team's still gelling, still figuring out its identity, still making some changes to who it is. They're dealing with injury from Thornton.
Mm-hmm.
And they're 500, and they're in the middle of a East Coast swing, so it's not like they have an easy start to the season in terms of schedule. Not worrying. Rocket, do you have some words of comfort for us as well? Talk us off the ledge.
There's a ledge? Are you kidding me? This ledge is from like concrete onto the grass.
Have you seen Twitter yet?
No, and I don't care to. You know why? Because I have real-world problems, and this is just a sport. All right, calm down. Besides, it's way too early in the season. We haven't even had All-Star break yet. It just, we're two injuries and two call-ups away from having a completely different season from what we have right now. Every team out there is two major injuries and two call-ups away from being a completely different roster. So why get all anxious about it? You never know what's going to happen in the next two games. Just fix what's wrong now and move forward. Don't speculate.
Yeah, completely agree. Like, we overanalyze every game because we are here every post game. If you didn't know that, you should subscribe because we do these things. But if you just look at the standings right now, I mean, Carolina's on top of the Metropolitan. Washington's in third, and then I believe Vegas, let me see how bad they're doing. Oh yeah, Vegas,
yay.
They are one regulation.
Vegas is 1-4, 1-4-0 right now. So again, this is where I say don't overreact. Well, even if you expected Vegas to fall back down to earth, Anaheim, who a lot of people including myself were predicting fall back down to earth, Anaheim's leading the division. So relax. It's early.
Tradition.
It's early.
Right.
I know it's instinctively we want to overreact to these things, but as long as you don't lose it in October and November, that's the key. Like, You don't win the Stanley Cup in October, November, but you sure damn can lose it. Just don't come out in the middle of November with only a couple wins. So with that, let's move on from this. I don't think we want to recap this much more because that third period, sigh, missed opportunities. We'll probably talk about it again. If the Sharks miss something by a few points, that'll be one of the ones I'll have a pin there. We'll remember that one. Should we go around the league? Do we have a video for this yet, AJ? Do we have an intro? Okay, so we are going to do the wraparound.
Word.
Waits for the juvenile comment. I guess, no juvenile comment today. Make sure actually my thing is refreshed because I know we were an early game and there was a lot of early games in the NHL tonight. There's actually no games tomorrow night. I noticed there's like everything started at like 4 or 5 o'clock Western time today. But you have the Kings at Montreal, 9 minutes left in the third. Kings are up 3-0. You have Toronto at Detroit. And 1 minute left, Toronto's up by 1-4-3.
If you want to be worried though about teams that like letting other teams back in, I mean, this has been Toronto's entire season. Like, it's eerie familiar because they've had the same problem where they've just let teams back into games that they had no business letting teams back into.
Yeah, and Leafs fans are also, you should know because you're right there in Toronto, but Leafs fans are also very frustrated with that team. But again, it's like it's early. Teams are still figuring out their deal. Some teams come firing out of the gate, but it's not uncommon at all for teams to struggle a bit. Back on that, Calgary is down 5-1 to St. Louis at the end of two. So that's Calgary, a lot of people expected a big bounce back this year. So I don't know about that. I think AJ has a sound effect for us.
Give him a rage around.
There we go. There's my juvenile comment I wanted. Winnipeg and Nashville in the rematch from the second round last year. Nashville is up 1-0 with 13 minutes left in the third. You have Chicago and Minnesota are tied. And NHL.com is not showing me how many minutes are left, but Chicago is on the power play. I assume that
1730.
One is 1730 in the third. Okay. Very good. Yeah. It's because I have this odd shaped monitor here. So Edmonton is dead. Or actually, Edmonton lost to Boston. 4-1.
Edmonton is dead.
Yeah. Edmonton is dead. Colorado whoops Buffalo 6-1. Columbus Blue Jackets beat Florida 5-4. The Devils beat down Washington 6-0. Jeez, yeah. Well, there you go. Again, like I said, don't read too much into early scores because those Stanley Cup champions just got their butts kicked. Pittsburgh beat Vegas again tonight 4-2. Vancouver beat the Tampa Bay Lightning 4-1. Like I said, really don't read too much into early scores if Vancouver's winning. So, I mean,
feel so good. Like, as a fan, that must feel good. Well, don't hold on to it.
They're like, I'm a Canucks fan. I don't know what winning is like.
Yeah, right? They're rioting in the streets right now.
Elias Pettersson has his fourth goal of the season.
Oh, wow. Oh.
Yeah, but even the Outer Town scoreboard, even that tells us what we know is that it's early. It come March, very few teams will actually care about what happened back in October. I expect Vegas to bounce back. I don't expect the Canucks to be beating down some of the better Eastern Conference teams. And I don't think Washington will be getting shut out that often. So tonight was frustrating, but that's really the big lesson here. Looking at different things, I know there was a little bit of buzz on Twitter. And among other things, Dell got second straight start. I think it's pretty much kind of a shrug, whatever. It's, Ian, did you take anything away from that? Or are you on my team? There is no controversy.
There's no goalie controversy. I mean, okay, so Jones had a couple of bad starts. And then, does Dell get this start if Jones is playing better? Probably not. But does this mean that Dell's imminently going to, we're going to have to trade Jones now because... Aaron Dell's the guy and we can't afford Jones under the salary cap as a backup. No, that's not happening. We're nowhere near that point in the season. Again, it's, you know, it's the hot takery of the first 2 weeks of the season where everything's just kind of stupid.
Do you think we could trade for Peter Budaj?
Sure. You just want to say live in Budaj by the sword every single
Yes,
time.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that would be fun. I don't know if that'd be good for our win-loss record, but I think Ian nailed it. Pretty much, if Dell has two or three more starts in a row, then maybe we'll have something to talk about and wonder if either one, Jones is injured, or if the coaching staff is worried about him. But two in a row, it could just be two. You know, sometimes a cigar is just a cigar.
Yeah. No, that's how I feel about it. Like, it's the whole thing's just silly right now. Like, you look at things going on around the league right now, like Austin Matthews has a bajillion goals. Sure, but he's also shooting 50%. Like, that's going to just sustain all season, right? Like, these things will all balance out.
Small sample size.
So, is Connor McDavid going to be able to carry the Oilers all by himself this year?
No, because he couldn't carry them all by himself last year. I mean, there's only so much one player can do. Is he going to get 100 and something points? Probably. Is it going to be enough to do the whole, you know, to carry the whole team into the playoffs? Not if Cam Talbot can't make a save.
Ouch.
Ouch, ouch, ouch. And of course, AJ coming in the chat asked Monica, no, no, we're not going there, AJ. Bad, AJ, bad. Anyways, chat, if you have any questions or comments you want to throw at us, I'm kind of keeping an eye there right now. Sorry we haven't interacted a lot. Yeah, if you have any things you want us to read, within reason, don't get us in trouble.
That's right.
I'm looking at you, AJ. I don't think we want to dwell on this game too long, so we're probably wrapping up in a little bit here. So, I don't know if there's anything else from this game. I'm just looking at my notes that I really wanted to bring up. I didn't have any issue with that particular call. I know the main issue was how long it took them for them to determine it was a goal. Ian, did you have any issue with the actual outcome of the call or Rock?
No, I didn't. I thought at best it was inconclusive. If it's inconclusive, the call on the ice stands. I just thought they could have got there quicker.
Agreed.
We're just to have controversy. You know, like, come Sorry. On. Somebody yeah. needs to disagree.
Okay, fine. It was the worst call ever. I don't know what they're looking at. If they could, you know, get them something better than a Nintendo DS, we'd figure this out better. Are you happy now?
Yeah. California Cruising pointing out that there was that late hit that should have been called, and I agree on that. There was. I'm not sure what they're calling because it seems like there's a lot of interference and late hits I'm not seeing called. And I mean, it's the point where even the broadcasters are talking about it. It's not just me being a fan. Pyro Nico saying trade Jones for John Scott. I don't know. John Scott has his own YouTube channel and all that. We're trying to see if he wants to come hang out with us one of these times. We'll see.
That would be fun. That would be so much fun.
Yeah, no, if you haven't listened to his he has a podcast, he has a YouTube channel. I think it was Troy Grosnick on. Was it Troy Grosnick?
It was Stalock.
Oh, Stalock, that's right. Yeah, sorry, I'm mixing up my Sharks backups, but he was good.
It was really good.
Yeah, Dave Bupala agreeing about the late hit on Sumela. I mean, they didn't lose this game because of the refs, though. We're not trying to make that as an excuse. It's disappointing in some of the calls, but that wasn't the reason why they lost. They lost because, one, Lundqvist showed again why he's one of the best in the business, even to this day, and they kind of took their foot off the gas at the end there. You know, maybe some frustration, maybe it was a lot of different things, some, you know, some fatigue too. But yeah, it is what it is.
Yeah, no, I think the other thing early in the season that's been interesting is just the number of goals that have been scored in some of these games. Like, it's not a good time to be a goalie right now. And I'm curious because I know over the summer they streamline some of the equipment again, and I don't know if that's part of it, where they're just not, where some of the goalies are just not, because I guess they did all the chest protectors and they streamlined them, so I don't know if that's a factor in why we're seeing so many goals. apparently the Devils have are 2-0. They have 9 goals for and 2 against, and the Sharks play them next. That's good times.
Oh, that's going to be fun. I mean, they would have gotten 6 of those tonight since they won 6-0. But yeah, dynamic team and Peter DeBoer's old team.
Offensive games with a lot of goals in them are probably due to the fact that everybody's kind of looked at where last year's systems were and tweaked them all, and they're tweaking them. I mean, like, you know, it's always been like defensive kind of teetered toward that side, and now the needle is swinging a little bit more towards the other way of like the Dallas Stars 5 forwards run and gun kind of. It feels way more like everybody's just about speed and trying to overwhelm the other team with shots.
It's one part of the league going that way, but also, I mean, it's also, if you just look at historical trends, the first 10 or 20 games of the season is what I call the real preseason, because teams are more sloppy. Like, the stats bear it out that's the real preseason. Like, that's why I just say, can we just get rid of the preseason just altogether? Because teams do their real preseason, they get it dialed in their first 10 or 20 games. I mean, some teams come out of the gate looking great and they're a well-oiled machine, but only so many of those teams are still a well-oiled machine when April rolls around. So most teams, though, do a lot of their tune-ups in October and November. And the numbers bear it out. Usually scoring is a lot higher for the first month or so. And just, I don't think teams will ever give up that money, or maybe just make the season 90 games. I don't know. If we have to play those games, make them count. Yeah. So coaches will actually play their real players. There's my hot take for the night, because
not the fake.
Said, the numbers bear the it out. Players. Teams aren't on for their first 10 or 15 games on average.
Yeah, coaches generally will win, and coaches lean towards defense because coaches coach to win, and they don't, you know, they'll take the win. It's easier to get a win playing defense than it is to run and gun. It was funny, I was listening to Steve Dangle podcast earlier, and one of the quotes that they had from Babcock was like, "Hey, is this good?" He's like, "Oh yeah, it's fun, but it's also really dumb with all the high scoring." So, I think that just, you know, goes to show, like, once the coaches kind of get the clamps on things, scoring will come down again.
Yeah, exactly. And so that's why I'm not worried about the Sharks. Like, if we're still having the same discussion in 10 or 15 games, okay. But I mean, really, that's it. So last call for the chat, if you guys have anything else you want to throw up here for us to comment on. But we'll just kind of start probably going around here for final thoughts. Rocket, final thoughts on the night, final thoughts on what's going on. I mean, you've been on quite a bit. And by the way, before Rocket does that, I should plug hashtag TTUSA1000. We are really, really dang close here. Hit that little red button down there if you haven't yet. But we are really, really dang close to 1,000 subscribers, which is beyond all our wildest dreams. You know, who said dreams don't come true? I thought about that when I was a kid. I was like, someday I could have 1,000 subscribers on YouTube. We're so close. Please make a little boy's dream come true. Hit that sub. Ask all your friends. Please do. Rock it.
Final thoughts. I think this game, they're still tuning it in, you know? And the more elite that this roster becomes, the more microscopic the adjustments they need to make become. And it's painful as a fan, but I'm pretty sure that as a player on this squad, it's one of the most fun things you could possibly imagine. So I'm just going to try to have a good time watching this team have a good time figure themselves out. Yeah, because it can't be anything other than a good ride. Even if it's a heartbreak, it's still going to be a good ride. My name is Rocket Backhander. Hey, you can find me hanging out on Twitter, musing about hockey and other things that I find ironic or hilarious or just plain outrageous. It's capital R, capital B, little Ackhander 76. It's R Backhander 76 on the Twitter machine. Or check out my Instagram. It's a bunch of photographs of me as a Sharks hockey fan in the lovely city of Nashville, Tennessee. That's Rocket Backhander. One word on Instagram. Chris?
Thank you. And I do love your background sign there. I see 1-900 hockey, LA sucks butts.
Yeah.
Very, 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 very good. I see in the chat real quick, Kevin Lacey saying if there was no preseason, Rourke Chartier would not be on this roster. That is a very fair point. I will give you that. Maybe we could just shorten preseason a little bit to a couple games.
It doesn't need to be as many games as it is. I don't know. I mean,
this year felt out of control.
Guys are going to get injured. It's going to happen. But the number of people that got injured in those last couple of games, and I know it's just there's an element of flukiness in there, but I don't know. It seems like the preseason's too long.
Agreed. Ian, your final thoughts aside from that, but your final thoughts as well, and then where the people can find you.
I think, like Rocket said, I think this is going to figure itself out. Look, this team is too good to be bad, and obviously at some point, there's expectations that this team has, and they're justifiable when you look at the players on the roster. But I still think there's still a lot to like from pretty much every game they've played. I haven't really watched a game, whether it's been on replay or live, that, there hasn't been a lot of positives to take from the games. But, at some point you have to win, though. So I think that, I understand the frustration, but let the Kings work out. This team, I'm not too worried yet. It could be so much worse. You could have the best player in the world and not have a win yet. So I don't know what to tell you.
That is the motto. It could be worse. Where can everyone find you?
You can find me at Ian Blogs Hockey on the Twitter, also on Instagram, which is, I haven't had a chance to get any Hounds games in yet, so it's mostly just pictures of my awesome kids. Also TTG tomorrow.
Excellent. And Ian's kids are indeed awesome. My final thoughts as we're kind of pulling everything to a close here, just exactly what these guys said, really, is just, it's okay. And like, if I'm looking at the end results, I'm not happy. But if I look at the process, I trust the process because I see a lot of potential there. I see a lot of very close saves. I see, all those things. So I'm not too worried. Ian, real quick, before we wrap, do you have any thoughts on the CUDA and what you've seen early?
CUDA looked good. They lost last night in overtime, but the first two games they won by, I think it was 4-1 and 5-1. Team looks really good. Guys that have, team really young team this year, the youngest team in the AHL, 10 rookies on the roster. So it's a lot of similarities to that team that went to the Western Final, but really solid team so far. So it looks a lot of fun to watch. Guys like Latunov, like a lot of the new faces, Latunov, Halvig Watts, they've been really, really fun to watch. So it's going to be, it's definitely worth checking out. If you have the scratch for the AHL, do it.
I'm sorry, did somebody say Barracuda?
Okay, I can't hear the sound effect, I guess. Okay, but very cool. Thank you, AJ. And for those of you who are not aware, AJ has been producing here in the background. We're still polishing out this more produced look, but he's doing a great job, so everyone thank him. You can see him in the chat as well, but he's done a fantastic job for us tonight. And I think just before I wrap, reflecting on what Rocket said is all about the journey, because here's the thing is, when the Sharks hoist the cup one day, it'll be 100 times more fun because we've suffered through the good, the bad, and the ugly. Because, I know it's fun to win all the time. Obviously, that's fun. But the struggle is what makes it really, really fun when you finally break through. So remember that the journey is fun. The journey is all part of the fun.
God, we are all a bunch of masochists, aren't we?
We are. And with that, we're going to wrap it up here. So if you haven't already, hit that subscribe button, hashtag TTUSA1000. AJ has a big old bucket of prizes he wants to give away. Please help him give stuff away. So hit that subscribe button. Follow these guys on Twitter, Big R, Big B, Little Ackhander, 76, and Ian Blogs Hockey. You can follow me at ChrisJWS. You can follow all of us at Teal Town USA. Go to tealtownusa.com for all these great articles. Felix produces a bunch of stuff about growing the game, all kinds of great content. Hit it up. And with that, have a good night, everybody.